It's a pleasure to be here this morning. What an opportunity on the day that we celebrate the Lord's ascension, a resurrection from the dead. I pray we never get over it. I pray you never get over it. I praise the Lord for that one day when someone was brave enough to share with me what God did for me. What a day. I pray we never get over it. And my, how the devil was working this morning. I think he was in everybody's home. I know he was in my home this morning. He didn't want us to come and worship this morning. But that's why we're here, to worship our Savior. If you would just indulge me this morning, let's go back to our psalm that we're trying to learn this morning, Psalm 25. As we're trying to learn the first few verses of this song, and for me, the easiest way to learn a Bible verse is to put it to song and to sing it. And then it helps me to sing it all week long. And you'd be amazed how often I sing songs of the Bible, Scripture, and it helps me through the day. So let's sing Psalm 25. We're going to sing 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to throw in the first part of verse 3. So I'm going to teach you a new course, or a new verse today, all right? So it starts like this. If you know it, Psalm 25, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you don't know it, you'll catch on very quickly. It starts like this. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Good. Let's sing it one more time. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Thank you. I pray that's a blessing to you. You'd be amazed. This week I went and witnessed to my family. And I sung that verse. They're 2 hours away. They live 2 hours away. And I sung that verse for almost 2 hours. Saying, let me not be ashamed of you, Lord. Let me be bold. Let me be courageous. And praise the Lord, I was planted the seed this week. So pray for my family. We're going to be in 1 Samuel again this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Last week we looked at the man whom God chose. This week we're looking at a particular portion of David's life. From that day forward is what we're going to look at this morning. From that day forward. And we find that in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. And the Word of God says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. From that day forward. This is a very unusual circumstance we find right here in verse 13. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon an Old Testament saint. Now, in our daily readings, if we were just reading this verse, most people, including myself, we'd just read right by that. But the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers until after the day of Pentecost. The apostles did not have the Spirit of God living in them until after the day of Pentecost. And here we have an Old Testament saint that says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now we have that instance in the Scriptures where the Spirit of God comes upon an Old Testament saint. But it says, from that day forward. Think of everything that happened in David's life. From Goliath, to becoming king, to running from Saul, to his sin with Bathsheba, to the murder of Uriah, to his problems with his children. The Spirit of the Lord was with him the whole time. It says from that day forward. Do you think he grieved the Holy Spirit during his days? Do you think we grieve the Holy Spirit during our day? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the pleasure and the ability to speak and to teach the Word of God. I pray that you would be with us this morning. Help me, dear Lord, to speak only your words. Use me as a vessel, dear Lord, that I just pour myself out and allow you to fill yourself up within me, to speak this lesson, to teach us that we might leave here knowing that it was great to be in the house of the Lord, not from what Brother Money said, but from what you said to our hearts. Give us what we need today. Allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in this congregation. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. From that day forward, David was a mighty man of God. He was the man that God called, "There's a man after my own heart." So there had to be something in David's life that God saw that really made him say, "This is a man after my own heart." He didn't say that about anybody else in the Scriptures. And you think some of the great people that we've seen through the Old Testament, think of Moses and think of the prophet Samuel, as we've read about a little bit last week, and we think of Abraham and we think of Joseph. This is the only man that God says is a man after my own heart. And I believe it goes back to this phrase, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward because he yielded his life to God. Now, he was just a man. He was an ordinary man. There could be someone in this congregation today or in the next hour that God sees, that is someone I'm going to use. And it would be someone just like David. God is working constantly in people's lives, and we don't see it. He was working in David's life in the sheep fields, and we didn't know it. No one around him knew it. Not even his father or brethren knew it. But he was being used of God and being trained where he was at. God places a lot of emphasis in the Scriptures upon David. And where God places emphasis, we should place emphasis. We should take notice. And as we mentioned this last week, and if you weren't here, David's name is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Word of God. And if you want to compare that to like the Apostle Paul, he's only mentioned about 160 times in Scripture. So David's emphasis is quite substantial. He is mentioned in over 54 chapters of the Bible, not counting the Psalms. That's more than quadruple of any other person in Scripture. So there is an emphasis placed upon this man. That's hence why we study him. We know many of the stories of David's life, from the time that he was a mighty warrior, from the time he led the armies of Israel, times he was king of Israel. But he had a humble beginning. He was a poor shepherd boy. Until one day, the prophet Samuel came to his home. And it was such an astounding day that the people of the town said, "Do you come peaceably, Samuel?" He says, "Yes, peacefully, I go to sacrifice." And he went to Jesse's house and sacrificed and anointed the youngest of 8 children to be the next king of Israel. We saw that last week. We see here in verse Samuel 16, again we pick it up in verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren." Samuel didn't do this privately for just David and he. He did it in the home of Jesse. And the 7 brothers are there with them. Possibly the sisters, possibly the mother. We're not told that. And Samuel takes this oil and he pours it upon David, this shepherd that has just been brought in from the sheepfold. He probably is dirty. He probably smells. Samuel doesn't look at all that. He sees that God says, this is the one. And he anoints him. He was just a lad. He was a mere 11, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that time frame. It was another 15 years before he would sit on the throne. King Saul was still on the throne, and it would be another 15 years before David took the throne. But he didn't take it forcibly. God gave it to him. And as Samuel is anointing him with this oil, as it says in verse 13, and we see Samuel leave. It says, and so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. That's his home, Ramah. His work was done. He had obeyed God. He had done exactly what God wanted him to do, and he left. Now we have David standing in the middle of his home. Oil is dripping down his head, down his brow, onto his body, onto the floor. What's next? So I'm the next king of Israel. What do I do now? Where do I go? How do I learn how to be a king of Israel? What is God's timetable? All these thoughts would go through our heads, and I know through my head, okay, how do I plan this? How do I prepare this? How do I do this? That's not David. David was a man after God's own heart. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward, he yielded his life to God. Now, he always did not do what was right. We know that. He was a man. He was not perfect. He grieved the Holy Spirit. He sinned against God, but he asked for forgiveness. It is time for David, though, to realize he needs to go to class. And as we've entitled this series, A Journey Through the King's Classroom, he needs to learn how to become a king, and who better to teach him than the King of Kings? And God is going to begin to teach him that. So let's begin here in verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Look back at verse 19. And wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is where? Where is he? With the sheep. What's just happened in David's life? The high priest, the prophet of God, has just come into his home and anointed him with oil and told him, you are the next king of Israel. What does David do? I'm going back to the sheep. Look with me in verse 19. Verse 20, and Jesse took an ass and laden him with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. We see here that David doesn't say, okay, Dad, I'm the next king. You've got to bow down to me. You've got to reverence me. No, he's obeying his father. He continues in some things that he knows. I know the sheep. I know how to obey my father. Keep on with me here. And David came to Saul and stood before him. He did exactly what his father said to do. Take these offerings to Saul and go to him. Yes, father, I'll go. Turn over in 1 Samuel 17 and look at verse 14. 1 Samuel 17, 14. And David, this is when you're getting ready to have the battle of David and Goliath here. And the three oldest sons are with Saul in battle. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Was he above doing the task that he has been given? Was he above taking the responsibilities that he had been given and carrying on with them? No. He was a man that gave us a courageous example to follow God. As you yield yourself to God, look what you can do. After Saul anointed David, David didn't say, okay, Dad, I'm the king. I'm head of the house now. You got to bow down to me. You've got to reverence me. Let's have the servants come and feed me, and I'll just lay here on this couch. And that's not David. He didn't say, okay, Dad, I want my brothers to do my bidding. He didn't do that either. He was yielded to the Lord. He didn't go to the nearest jeweler and say, let me try on your crowns. Let me see which one fits me. He didn't go and say, I need some new stationery so I can send out this proclamation that I'm the new king and start writing some new laws. What he did do was continue in obedience. He continued in submission. He continued in faithfulness. He obeyed his father. He kept feeding the sheep. As we saw, he went back to the sheep. After he had been already gone to the palace, as we'll see, he became the harp player or the lyre, the harp player, and I'll say that. The harp player for King Saul. He goes back to the sheep. When Saul and his army go out to battle, where does David go? He goes back to the sheep. He takes care of his responsibilities God gave him. And he respects his father enough and obeys his father enough. When Saul sends for him, he says, I'll go, Father. We find him tending the sheep often. Even though he is the next king of Israel, he was still faithful in the little things. Maybe God has placed in our hearts and our lives a calling. Don't be above the little things. If God has given you responsibilities, if it's something as simple as turning the lights on in the church, be faithful in it. God will bless faithfulness. And that faithfulness builds. And another responsibility will come. And another responsibility will come. And another responsibility will come. I remember my former pastor, Clarence Sexton, he would say when he was growing up, he had gotten saved and he got sitting on the front pew and he wanted to know how he could help his pastor. He says, Pastor, give me something to do. And he said, okay, I want you to make sure there's toilet paper in every bathroom in the church before the church doors open. He said, I'll do it. And that was his first task in the church. And he later graduated to being able to turn the heat and air on and turn the lights on. Little things. But if you know who Clarence Sexton is today, he has one of the largest independent Baptist churches in America. He was blessed because of his faithfulness. He yielded to submission. We could talk about our pastor that way as well. I don't know his younger lives as he was growing up, but as he saw God call him from the secular world into the calling of his life to preach the gospel, he obeyed God. And he forfeited what would be to many a ridiculous thing of giving up an income to go and live by faith. And he didn't go to this beautiful sanctuary and this great auditorium and this great crowd and this great numbers in our congregation. He went to a storefront and started a ministry with a handful of people, and some of you are still here today. God bless his faithfulness. David leaves us a courageous example to continue in the little things, and God will bless it. As we yield our lives to God, he will obey. If we obey and submit to God, he will bless us. Look with me back in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel in verse 14 again. Something's getting ready to take place here. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Notice it's a servant that's speaking. A servant in the king's court. in the king's palace. He is bold enough and courageous enough to speak up to the king. I've got an idea, king. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. This servant is bold enough to speak up. And he says, I haven't heard of this young man. I have seen this young man. I have seen him. This, many would call in the world today, a chance encounter. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in coincidences, and I definitely don't believe in luck. I believe in the providential hand of God. And I believe this young man, this servant that is now in the presence of King Saul, was providentially directed at some point in his life to have an encounter with David. Not to just hear of him, but it says he'd seen him. He heard him play. He heard him enough to understand his testimony. Look at verse 18 again. That is David's testimony. And how does it end? And the Lord is with him. He's still a young man. He's not even an adult yet. And the Lord is with him. He obeyed God. As we saw, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. He yielded his life to God, and as he yielded his life to God, God blessed him, and he provided his direction and his guidance. This providential hand of God has led this servant that has now become a servant in the palace of the king. He had provided a clear way for those two to meet, David and the servant. God's in control. He's still in control today. He makes no mistakes. No mistakes. Many people today say, well, God, He's somewhere up there, if they believe in God. He's somewhere up there, and He's removed His hand from this world and from our lives, and He won't interfere. He's left us to fend for ourselves. That's not my God. He cares for us. He loves us. He desires for us to follow Him. We don't always do that. He desires for us to yield to the Spirit of God and to its direction. And we hear that still small voice, but we still say, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. And we take a few steps and the Holy Spirit's saying, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Go back. David submitted to the Lord. And these chance encounters continued in his life. And he was allowed to begin to see God's hand upon his life. And he realized God was starting to instruct him. Remember, he's just a poor shepherd boy out in the sheep fields that's now been anointed with oil from the prophet. How am I going to become king of Israel? There's some things he has to learn. Look what God's going to do. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and plain. Do you think it's the eldest son? Do you think he can play a harp? Do you think it's the second born or the third born? No, we see all three of those in the battle with King Saul. They were men of war. And I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and plain and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. My, how we could stop here and I could tell you how God has brought people into my life, into my wife's life. They weren't chance encounters. I could stop and tell you as the Navy moved us to the West Coast, we were stationed in Washington State, we didn't know a soul. And we got a little homesick. And my wife picked up the phone book and started flipping through in it, trying to find a church. And she called this number in the phone book. And this pastor was from North Carolina. And he was an independent Baptist missionary to the military in West Washington State. We were in the military. We were from North Carolina. God led us to that man. And that man and his wife and his dear family grounded us in the Word of God. They are one of the reasons why I'm still here today. Their ministry covered not only Washington State, and we worked with them in later years, but then we went with them to North Dakota to help ground and start a church there. And how the Lord used them in our lives. It wasn't a chance encounter. It wasn't luck that my wife just happened to call that one phone number. That was God's providential hand. And how God, I wanted to go to Bible school after a number of years, and how God wanted, it was impressing upon my heart, I needed to go to Bible school, and I was ready to go to Texas to go to Bible school, to Dr. Gray's school. And my dad said, I'll go with you because we're not too sure about this, and we'll go together. I want to see what this is all about. And we sort of backed up. And we didn't go. We didn't go visit. My pastor gave me good counsel, and I'd stayed and worked with him for a few more years. And then Clarence Sexton started a school. That was God's providential hand. It was my decision to go to Texas to go to school, and praise the Lord, he stopped that decision and allowed me to be grounded in the Word of God a few more years. And then Clarence Sexton opened the school in Powell, Tennessee, Crown College. And what a blessing that was for my wife and I, my family, and how God used that place in my life to instruct us and guide us and direct us. God brings people into your life. You might not realize it, but they are there by God's hand. He also allows circumstances to occur in your life. When we were in Washington State, they told us at one of our daughter's checkups that our daughter's hearing was going and she would be deaf for the rest of her life. We had a strong church to help us pray. And the next time we went for a checkup, he said, I don't know what happened, but her hearing is perfect. That was a miracle of God. It was a direct answer to prayer. How do I know there's a God? Because he answers my prayers. But that was a circumstance that strengthened my faith. That was a circumstance that God allowed in my life that made me realize he answers my prayer. He hears my prayer. It was a circumstance that God allowed. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a fluke in the machines, because they tested and they calibrated all those machines and said, well, we've got to make sure this is right. And they calibrated their machines and they said, it's all working right. Your daughter's going deaf. And we come back and they're like, that doctor was puzzled. I still see his face. I don't know if you do. I still see his face. He was completely puzzled. And he's like, I don't know what happened. Let me go back and check my machines again. She was healed by God. She hears perfectly today. Probably too good. He not only brings people across our path to help us and guide us, He not only allows circumstances in our lives, he allows specific teaching from the Word of God at the very moment we need it. Pastor doesn't know and have a secret window into our homes and know exactly what's going on in our homes. He doesn't know exactly what's going on in our lives. He doesn't have secret agents out there. But when he preaches from the Word of God and it speaks to our heart through the Holy Spirit, that's God talking. Sit up and take notice. It's not pastor saying, I got you. It's the Holy Spirit saying, wake up and get right with me, or do this, or do that, or go this way, or go that way, or come back to me. That's God. as we yield to the Holy Spirit, we have Him inside of us. As we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, allow us to say as David, from that day forward, I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit desires for me to do. Look at these verses again. God has allowed a servant of King Saul to first have the courage to speak up. And then he says, I've met this man. I've met David. And he shares with King Saul in verse 18, David's testimony. This is the man I know. Let's move on. 1 Samuel 16, verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well with the evil, and the evil spirit departed from him. David has been given a commission to a new position. His main responsibility now is not the sheep. His main responsibility now is to play the harp for the king of Israel. But not only that, he's given another promotion. He's become an armor bearer for the king of Israel. Let's look at some of his promotions. David has been promoted from the sheep fields to the king's court. A little different dress, a little different atmosphere. Not animals anymore, but people. He's got to learn how to behave in all this. He's got to learn how do I become king of Israel? I can't go from tending sheep to becoming the king of Israel. I've got to take steps until I get to that place where I'm ready to be king of Israel. And God directs each of those steps. He's not in the sheep fields anymore. He's in the king's court. He's viewing everything that's going on. He's looking at everything. I've got to dress a certain way. I've got to act a certain way. I've got to behave in front of people. I've got to learn how to speak to people. He's learning all this. David has been promoted from playing his harp for the sheep to soothe and calm them to playing in the king's palace in his inner sanctum. He's in the king's bedchamber at night playing for the king so he can sleep. He's there to play his harp for the king to soothe and comfort his troubled mind. David has been promoted to the king's court to learn the ways of the court and its protocol. There's certain things you do. There's certain ways you behave. There's certain ways you act. David didn't know how to do that in the sheep field. He's learning. He's in the king's classroom. David has been promoted to a place of favor with the highest ranking official in the land. That doesn't come by chance. That comes by the providential hand of God. David has been promoted to the king's personal armor bearer. As it says in verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. What is an armor bearer today? Some organizations today have sort of taken this out of context. But what is an armor bearer in the Old Testament? What was his responsibilities? Care for the needs of their master. Provide protection and assistance to their master. Care for their armor and keep it clean and repaired. And keep their weapon nearby and sharpened. As we'll see in later studies, where is King Saul's weapon? It was nearby. Too nearby for David at some circumstances, because that spear came hurling at David. Guess who sharpened that spear? David allowed the Lord to open the doors in his life. Little steps. God did not take David from the sheep field straight to the throne. David needed to learn and be faithful in each step and each position the Lord placed him in. Our calling is to be faithful in the task the Lord has given us to do. We are to allow Him to guide us and direct us. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit and look for His instructions. What lessons is the Lord trying to teach us today? Are we willing to learn? Are you willing to be led and directed and instructed by God? Because He desires to. As we step away from the young man and start moving towards a man that is really being used of God, remember where he came from. Remember that humble beginning. And remember, he yielded to the Holy Spirit and allowed him to use him. He didn't live a perfect life. We can't live a perfect life. But as we yield to the Spirit of God, He will bless our obedience and our submission and our faithfulness. Let's be faithful in the little things. God has called me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't go from being a project manager from a medical company to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in one day. It takes instruction. It takes training. Praise the Lord, I got my schooling already done. But it takes that learning. And believe me, I'm watching everything. I'm listening to everything. I'm seeing how things are done. So that when one day the Lord places me behind a pulpit to preach and teach His people, I will be ready. May we be found ready when that day is that He calls us to do what He calls us to do. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the ability to love You and to serve You. I pray that we have honored You through this Sunday school hour. May You have all the glory. I do not want the glory, Lord. I appreciate the encouragement, but I do not want the glory. I give that to You. This is Your lesson. This is Your word. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help it apply it to our hearts and lives. We thank You for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.